EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
We're about to take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. In a moment, we are going to be hearing from Melissa from Florida with a supernatural story her father told her back in the 1970s while he was a police officer. Then we're going to be heading to Tijuana, Mexico, where Jason will be sharing his paranormal experiences from when he was younger. Okay, a big thank you to this week's 5-star ratings and reviewers on Apple Podcasts. And they are Blue VW Lady, Bam Bambi, RVA Billy 1979 from the USA, and Lancaster 1969 from Denmark. It is really appreciated as it helps the show to reach more potential listeners and guests. Message me your addresses, guys, and we'll send you bumper stickers of the show. The new podcast website is now finally live at ufochroniclespodcast.com. And there you can listen to the show, learn more about each episode, you can submit your encounters experiences, you can also visit the shop and pick up some podcast merchandise. Great stuff.
If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Hi, this is Melissa from Central Florida, and I'm going to share a story that my dad told me back in the 70s. My dad was a police officer. He had a lot of friends in law enforcement, and they also used to talk amongst each other. They were paranormal things that happened to them on the job. They would talk to each other. For the most part, they didn't share their stories outside of his circle of friends. This particular story happened to a deputy in a rural area of our county. Seems like a lot of the stories that my dad brought home and shared with us, I mean, some of them were really, really scary. That's why I remember them. But a lot of the stories came from rural areas, you know, where there wasn't a lot of development, you know, kind of areas where there were a lot of agriculture, you know, not built up, old areas. This particular story came from an area that's really well known for its recreational springs, and happened probably in the late 70s. That's when I heard it anyway. So there was an older house in this city, and the woman kept calling 911 because she said there was an intruder in her house. And this house was probably maybe like 1880s, 1890s, which is actually pretty old for a Florida house. So the deputies would come over there and they'd check out her house, you know, and they were like taking it with a grain of salt, like, okay, I think they thought that she was getting a little bit senile. And they would come over and they'd check the house and, you know, and they'd reassure her, ma'am, there's no one in the house. Well, one time they went over there and what they would do was, is that they would do a search through the house, you know, a methodical search, and they would turn on all the lights throughout the house. And I don't know if anybody remembers this type of light switch. It's the kind that had the two buttons. You press a button to turn it on or you press a button to turn it off. They're very old. Well, this house had those. So as they went through the house had two floors. They'd check everything. They even went up in the attic, checked that. They turned the lights on as they went. So when they came back to the front door, all the lights in the house were on. And as they were standing in the front entranceway of the house, you know, they were talking to the homeowner and they said, ma'am, you know, again, because they'd been out there a lot of times. They said, ma'am, you know, we didn't find anybody in the house, you know, and they were kind of talking to her like she was senile. But while they were standing there, all of a sudden, and it started somewhere in the house, because those clicks for the light switches, that old type of switch, makes a lot of noise. And it was at night, so it was quiet. Somewhere in the house it started, and they could hear the clicks. Click, 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 all the way. And as it went, all the lights went off till it came all the way around the front door. Click, all the lights in the house were off, and they were standing in the dark. And the deputy said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but we can't help you with that. And they left. That's my story. Good night.
Thank you, Melissa. Melissa was our guest on episode 39, The Sensation of Death. She's been a first responder for over 29 years, and she's had her fair share of paranormal encounters. Encounters which have been featured on the TV show Paranormal 911. And if you're listening out there and you are a first responder and you have had strange experiences, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Please get in contact.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thanks for coming on today, man. And you're calling from Tijuana, Mexico.
Yes. Been living here a little over a year now.
It's great to hear accounts coming out of Mexico. Now, you sent a voice submission of a UFO sighting your mother had, and I played that in episode 48. But today you're going to be sharing some paranormal experiences you've had.
Yeah, quite a few from throughout my life.
Great stuff. Do you want to start off on some of your earlier ones for us and just walk the listeners in, please, Jason?
Yeah, that sounds good. It kind of starts when I was around 7 or 8 years old, and I don't know exactly for sure where to start, so I'll say this one first, that I used to have, I would say almost like, I wouldn't call them nightmares because I was awake, but when I would go to bed at night and I would be trying to go to sleep, I would, you know, my sister and I shared a room and we were in bunk beds and I slept on the top. And so at night I would open my eyes and there would be shadow figures standing there. And it scared me so bad because I wasn't exposed to anything horror related as a child. My mom had been raised very religious and she was not allowed to partake in anything horror related or even rock music. You know, she wasn't allowed to listen to that. And so she kind of had passed that on to us as we were younger and was telling us, you know, like, no, we're not going to watch those things. We're not going to do those things. So I wasn't ever exposed to anything horror related. And so for me, it was very terrifying to see these shadow people, you know, beside my bed. And also, it helped me to think that maybe I didn't make it up because I didn't have any kind of reference for it. I didn't have a reference for making something like that up. But anyway, like one, it even looked like the shape of my neighbor. There was like a little, like 70-year-old lady that lived next door. She's like a grandmother to me. And the shape of the shadow person was like her, but she was holding an axe, it looked like, you know, like she was getting ready to hit me with it. And I'm like, just terrified me as a child. And I would just shake in fear and lay there in my bed and shake in fear and want to scream for my mom. And I was just too scared to do it. And so I'd just be laying there just with my eyes closed and under the blanket and just shaking with fear. But also a recurring dream that I would have as a child is that I would be dragged by invisible entities. You know, it was so creepy and weird and so real for me, you know, because the dream always felt so real. And they would grab me and they would try to drag me away. I don't know what that was, have no clue. It may have been just a dream. It may, you know, it's just very weird to me that those experiences happened to me when I wasn't exposed to anything like that at that young age. Around that same time, I was outside, and the area where I lived, this was in Missouri, and the area where I lived, on my street, where I in the house that I lived in, there were no trees around. There was nothing around that you could hide behind. And I was just outside in the yard one day, just a little kid playing and, you know, just doing what kids do, digging in the dirt or something. I don't know. And I just remember being outside playing. And then all of a sudden I heard someone say my name. It just said, Jason. I mean, plain as day, said my name, sound like it was right beside me. I was like, instantly got scared because I knew there was no one around me. And so, I mean, instinctively, even as a like 7, 8 year old child, I'm looking around to see where this voice could come from because I didn't recognize the voice, number one. And it sounded very close by, almost like it was right beside me. There was just no place to hide. I mean, it couldn't have been further away from me even because I wouldn't have heard it as plainly as I did. And it wasn't yelling. It wasn't anything like that. It was just like someone spoke my name, Jason. And so I ran into the house and I was like, Mom, someone said my name. And she just kind of blew it off, you know. And then we were at someone else's house. And again, there were a few trees around this place, you know, where they lived. So, I mean, but they weren't large trees that somebody could hide behind or anything like that. It was just kind of like some smaller trees that you would definitely see somebody standing behind. And I was playing fetch with a dog. As I was doing that, again, the same voice. The same thing, I heard plainly my name being spoken, and it said, Jason. And it just creeped me out so bad that I ran in the house again because, I mean, again, you know, I'm automatically looking around at first, and I don't see anybody. I don't recognize the voice. So, like I said, I ran into the house, and I was scared. I didn't even say anything about it this time, you know, because my mom had kind of just blew it off last time, and I thought, oh, it's probably nothing like she said or whatever. And then it happened to me a third time as I was back at my house, and the road that I lived on was a gravel road, and the city was getting ready to place some more gravel down, and they had it in a large pile at the end of the road where I lived. So I was just out on top of the gravel pile, just sitting there, kind of throwing some rocks and just being a kid, you know. And again, I heard it. You know, I heard my name just plainly spoken again. It said Jason. And it just creeped me out so bad that I ran off the gravel pile and back into the house. And you know, I didn't even want to go outside because of it, because it's just I didn't know where it was coming from. There was no place for anybody to hide. The voice was not recognizable. And it was a man's voice. It wasn't like a kid's voice. It wasn't whatever. And there were no teenagers that lived on our road. So I'm like, it wasn't, you know, as I look back on the experience, you know, I'm like, no, there wasn't any teenagers that lived on that road. It was just a bunch of us little kids, you know, and they weren't even on my end of the road. They were on the other end of the road. And so I was just trying to, I guess, explain these away all these years, trying to figure out what was saying my name. So that was definitely one of the other weird experiences. My grandmother, she's just a very Christian woman. She wasn't one that I ever knew to tell lies. You know, she just was so strong in her Christian beliefs that she, you know, she was completely against lying. She was completely against, you know, a lot of things. You know, she wouldn't even want me to play with playing cards at her house. You know, it was just kind of really old fashioned. I was at her house one day, and when my mom was younger, she had a sister that had passed away, and they had been playing outside, and she ended up burnt in a fire. And, you know, that they were all playing around a stump, and her dress caught on fire, and her sister got burnt. And I think about a month later, she passed away from the burns that she had received. And I remember my family talking, because I was always around the adults as a child. I can remember all of these people telling my mom, he's just such an old soul, you know, and I didn't know what that meant. And it kind of scared me too, you know, because they're like, he's an old soul. I'm like, what's that mean? You know, I don't have a clue. So I asked my mom later, what's that mean? And I don't think I ever really got a good clear answer that I needed as a child as to what being an old soul meant. So I would always hang around the adults more than the children. And so I would hear some of the conversations. And I do remember my grandmother saying that it was my grandfather, which was her third husband, but he was not the father of the little girl, and he had never met the little girl. And he said, you know, and she said that one night he said that she came and sat on the edge of the bed and played with his teeth. And I thought that was the weirdest thing. You know, to me, this is like the first kind of story I've ever heard like this. And this is after all the other things I'd experienced, you know, and I'm like, it just began to, I guess, open my eyes to different things, to like maybe there's other things out there. Maybe there, even at like, maybe I was around nine at this time, 9 to 10. I'm beginning to think maybe there are, I don't know, maybe there's a paranormal world. I didn't have the word paranormal in my vocabulary at the time, but begin to think there is a ghost world. So I would get all these ghost books then, you know, that I would find at school and that would tell ghost stories. And I just try to figure out, you know, what these things could mean that I've heard people talk about now. And so that was just another little weird instance. Kind of fast forward a little bit. I'm about 13 years old, 12, 13 years old, and my mom has remarried and we moved to Florida because my stepdad's in the Navy. And we are living in this house, and it just had a creepy feeling in the house. I mean, I just remember that the whole time. There's just always, you felt like you were being watched. You felt just uncomfortable in the house. That's the biggest feeling that I had there. And I remember one day, it was toward the evening, and my mom, she got scared, and I didn't know why. And again, at this time, she still did not allow us to see anything horror related. And she said that she saw a shadow. I mean, that's the only thing I can call it, as a shadow person, because I don't have any other reference for it. But she said she saw a shadow figure standing in the doorway that was between the kitchen and the den. And she said it kind of just moved out of that area and on into the kitchen. That freaked me out big time. I was like scared to death. I didn't want to go to sleep at night then. It was just completely terrifying, because at that time I'd finally gotten my own room and I was like, I did not want to be alone. I didn't want to. It was just, I can remember all the things from being a child, and then that story on top of that, it scared me to death. And at that time, my stepdad was on duty. He was on a ship somewhere around the world. I don't even know where at the time. He wasn't allowed to tell us as he would be on duty, but he was on a ship somewhere in the world. And he came home a few months after that. And as they were laying there in bed one evening, they said that there were two shadow figures walking around the bed, and it scared them. They called my grandmother and they're like, you know, pray, please just pray, because we don't know what to do, because we saw all these things, and it scared them really badly. And so they called my grandmother just to say pray, you know, because they didn't know what else to do. It scared them, and in turn scared me, because I'm hearing the same story at the same time and I'm seeing their fear, and it just kind of took hold of me too. But that's just weird. I never saw a shadow figure in that house. I never saw anything like that. My mom and my stepdad were the only ones to see that. I do know one night we had on the refrigerator, we had a basket that would sit in the middle of the refrigerator on the top, and mom would keep bread there. And in the middle of the night, we heard a sound, didn't know what it was, but we all got up to see, and the bread was like in the floor of the kitchen, like 7 feet away from the refrigerator, but the basket wasn't turned over. There was, you know, the basket was still in the same place. It didn't look like it had been moved. It didn't look like, I mean, and we don't know how in the world it would have done it. You know, there was just one loaf of bread in there. It wasn't like they were stacked and, you know, something fell, you know, it was there, and then it ended up in the floor. So it's just completely strange to us. You know, we automatically begin to put it together with the shadow people. And, you know, we didn't know. And I kind of laugh about it because it seems unbelievable, you know, and it seems so weird and strange. And the only thing I can do is kind of just laugh about it and think maybe we had overactive imaginations. Maybe it was just, you know, I don't know. But then again, as I was thinking, you know, as I had, you know, gave you the submission, and I began to think back as a child, like I didn't even use my imagination that much. I played with my sister's imaginary friends. She made up people, and I would, like, we would play together with the imaginary friend, you know, or something. It's like I didn't make up those things. I didn't try to make anything up like that. And I don't know, it's just strange experiences that I had. And all those were had as a child and as a teenager.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
And then as I became an adult, like a young adult around 18, 19, 20 years old, around 18 or so, 17 to 18, we had moved to Alabama. And that's where my grandmother was now living. And that's where we moved as well. And we were looking for a house to live in. And so we had been renting a house, and it was just one of the oldest houses in town. It was creepy in its own right, but I never seen anything there. It just felt creepy. And had a weird dream about the place. I had a dream that there was like things floating in the air, and objects that, you know, shouldn't have been floating were floating, but I never saw anything. And then as we were looking for a house to live in, I had a dream that we had found the place and we were there looking at it. And so in my dream, I walked around the outside of the house, and as I came around the corner, and this is so creepy and so scary to me, even now I get the creeps thinking about it and I get the chills. Because again, I was even at this age, I had no interest in horror related things. I had no interest in it. I didn't want anything to do with it. And I just have never been a horror fan. And it's so creepy. But I came around the edge of the house in my dream, and it was on the backside, and there was like a head hanging from the corner of the house on the backside, and it had like ants crawling all over it in my dream. And it scared me so bad. For 2 or 3 days after that, I did not. It was just so bad, creepy to me, the dream was. And during the time, my mom and dad were still looking for a house, and they're like, "Oh, we found the place. We're going to look at it," and everything. I'm like, "Oh, you know, cool. Let's go check it out." And so we went to look at it. And as I got there, the house was the house from my dream, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is the place! You know, this is the place I dreamed about." And I'm like, I didn't want to walk around the backside of the house. I mean, just, you know, automatically, even at 17, 18 years old, I'm thinking I'm going to find a head hanging there or something. But you know, of course, there was nothing like that. That there, but it was the house from my dream. It was definitely the house from my dream. And I had not seen the house before. I mean, if I did, it'd be just driving by. I never paid attention to this house. It was never anything that stood out to me. It was never anything that I paid attention to. It was just something you drive by every day or something like that. And it wasn't even every day that we drive by, because we hardly ever went that way. So there was no reason for me to dream about that house. And then it was the house. But my mom and dad ended up not getting it for whatever reason. A few months later, my grandmother and her sister were moving in together. And it's just so creepy, because that's the house they ended up moving into. And somebody had bought the house, and he's like, "Can you help take care of my mom?" And so they helped take care of his mother. And she was in another part of the house, like her own little area, because the house was a fairly good size, and it did have like a smaller efficiency apartment where his mother would live. And then there was the main house where my grandmother and her sister lived. And then on the backside, there was another small apartment, but it was completely separate. Nobody lived there. It was just being renovated. There was nobody there. And so this is where the weirdness starts. Even after the dream, you'd think that was the weirdest part. But no, they're living in the house, and always my whole life revolved around my grandmother's house. You know, as long as I was living near her, that's where we would go. That's where we would hang out. That's where we'd have fun. Life, you know, I mean, just like the best times were at grandma's house, you know, baking the cookies and all the things, you know, you do with grandma's. And now she was living with her sister, and her family was the same with her. And so they would be there a lot. And as me and my cousins, and we'd all just kind of hang out and we'd have fun, and we would just be together. And so even the older ones, you know, like my mom's age, you know, they were all sometimes hang around and we'd just all have fun. And so one night I stayed the night with my grandma, and it was me, and I have another cousin. He's just like 3 days older than me. So him and I were sleeping in the den area, and the living room, there was another cousin I had down there. He was sleeping there, but he was kind of further away. And then she's my great aunt, my grandma's sister. She was in her room, and she had her daughter with her in there. And then my grandmother was alone in her room. And that night we were all just kind of, I mean, it was, you know, except for my cousin who was further down the hall. And he was already asleep, and, you know, we could hear him snoring. The rest of us were kind of close enough where we could talk and hear each other. And so we were all just talking, and then, you know, we heard the bathroom door close. It was right next to where my great aunt and her daughter were sleeping. And so her daughter, she's always just kind of been a funny lady anyway, just kind of a comedian type person. And she hollered at my cousin. His name was James. She's like, James, get out of there. You know, just kind of playing around with him. And because we'd all just been laughing and just kind of cutting up. And he's like, I'm in here. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm in here. You know, and I'm like right there, not far away from him. I'm like, I could see him. He wasn't in there. And we could hear my other cousin. He was snoring, and she was with her mom. And then my grandmother was in her room. So we're like, who is in the bathroom? And so nobody kind of wanted to get up to check. But finally she got up and opened the door, but there was nobody in there. The light was on, and the door was closed, but there was nobody in there. We don't know how it happened. And it's still weird to this day to me to figure out how that happened. Then another time I was there, I had spent the night with my grandmother again, and I was in the shower. And while I was in the shower, just kind of washing my hair, and, you know, I heard, like, behind the shower, like on the wall on that side, like I could hear people talking. And I'm like, at first it didn't register to me, you know, it really didn't kind of click, nothing, you know. But then I'm like, as I'm standing there washing my hair, I'm like, wait, how am I hearing somebody talking? You know, I wouldn't be hearing a TV in here. There's not even a TV around here in this area. And my grandmother didn't have, I mean, they didn't even use a TV very much. You know, they had one, it just wasn't really used. They didn't watch a lot of things. So it was just creepy to me. I'm like, where am I hearing these voices? I just hurried up and got out of there. And I was telling my grandma, I'm like, you know what? I heard voices when I was in the shower. I said, on the other side of the wall, I'm like, I'm not hearing voices, like, you know, like I'm not crazy, but there's voices on the other side of the wall in the shower. And she said, one day I was in there taking a shower, she said, and the water came on in the sink. And I'm like, Grandma, what are you talking about? She's like, I said, you're telling me the water came on in the sink. She's like, yeah. She said, I can't explain it. I don't know what it was. She said, and I didn't leave it on. She said, but the water came on in the sink, you know, while I was in there. And like I said, my grandmother was not a person who would lie. She was not a person who would make things up. That was just not her nature. But that's what she said happened. And so I completely believed her, because I'm like, you know, this is not something that she's making up. And I just experienced somebody talking. And like I said, there was an apartment on that backside, but there was no one in there. There was nobody living there. There was, you know, nobody was even there that day working on the apartment, because, like I said, it was being renovated, and there was nobody back there. So it was just extremely weird. And I don't know. It was just several things like that happened. And as I was talking to my grandma, she said one night, she said, I was trying to go to sleep. She said, and I felt something crawl up under the covers with me into the bed. And, you know, again, like I said, my grandma wasn't one to make things up and she wasn't one to tell lies. And it really creeped me out. Again, I use that so much, you know, that I'm being creeped out, but it's just the truth. It just completely creeps me out. It gives me chills to talk about these things sometimes because it's because, like I said, she wasn't one to make things up. And she said it felt like it crawled right beside her. She's like, all I could do was pray. You know, she said, I just laid there and I prayed. She said, and, you know, it finally just went away. And I don't know. It was just unexplainable, completely unexplainable. I don't know how else to explain it, but these things happened. And while I haven't really experienced anything like that since then, or since they moved out of the house, because we experienced several things in there as children, and or I wasn't a child anymore, but, you know, as a young adult, and they lived there, me and my cousins all had experienced things, and we got to the point where we wanted to go stay the night there at times because we're like, what's going to happen? What, you know, what are we going to hear? What are we going to see? What, you know, so two or three of us would go, and then finally they moved, and we didn't have any more experiences there with that house. But it's just different things like that have happened throughout my life, and not as much as I got older, but just things that I can't explain. There was a guy that I knew, and he would, I don't know better way to explain it. He said he would, like, basically cleanse houses. And he would go in and he would pray or something. And he said he could literally pick these things up. I don't know. It was weird to me. It's still weird to me to think about that. He said he could pick things up and literally throw them out of a house. Like, he could feel them. He could tangibly feel them. And so, again, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what to believe. I don't know what's true, what's not. I know experiences I've had that have been just weird. Like I said, especially the ones when I was a child, I had never been exposed to anything horror related. And to see those and to experience those. I mean, the one that creeps me out the most, again, is the invisible entities that I had in my dream because they felt so real. And then on top of that, I have like almost like a memory, because that's the best way I can explain it is it's like a memory of a place. But I don't know where this place is at. And I've tried to explain it to my mom, and I've tried to explain it to different people like that knew that area when I was a kid. And I'm like, you know, do you know where this place is? Do you know? And they're like, no, I've never heard of this place. I don't know where this place is you're talking about, but I can remember completely the place. I can see it in my mind. I can see it, and I can see the inside of the place. And I don't know why I was there, but I was there. And it's, like I said, the best thing I can call it is a memory. It's not, it doesn't feel like a dream that I had. It doesn't feel, it feels completely different and separate. And I don't know why I was at this place. You know, like, this is just another weird thing that happened to me as a child. I don't know. It's just hard to explain. These things are very hard. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's just very hard to explain some things, and maybe there is no explanation for it.
Good job. That's a very creepy house. Isn't it weird how, you know, you dreamt about this house and you saw the head?
Yeah.
You maybe didn't get the house. You still had a connection to it.
Yeah. It was so weird because, like I said, when we drove up to it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the house, because that's what creeped me out the most already, was just that it was the house. And then what had happened in the dream, you know, having that head hanging there, which was, like I said, that dream disturbed me for 2 or 3 days after it.
That is very strange. And was the head just hanging there?
Yeah, it was kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, but it was like something very thin, like barely even visible, that it was hanging by. You know, it was just, I don't know what it was. I couldn't tell what type of material it was, but I could see that there was something very, very thin. And as I'm thinking of it, I'm thinking of it in terms of almost hair-like, you know, almost like it was hanging from hair, like it was so thin. And had ants crawling on it, and it was just so gross and disturbed me so bad.
It's like a human wind chime, really.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, very similar. A creepy wind chime.
Creepy wind chime. Yeah, I mean, yeah, any house I went to and had a head hanging from it, I always would avoid it, for sure.
Yes.
And your voices, and you said that the voices that you used to hear that we used to call your name was, they were male, like a male voice.
Yeah, it was
voice.
A male voice, and it was the same voice each time. You know, I'd even told my neighbor about, like, she was like a grandmother to me as well. She lived next door, and she was like 70-something. She'd play with us, and she would have fun with us, and, you know, I would help feed her chickens, and, you know, I would just hang out there sometimes. Like I said, I would always be around older people. I would, instead of hanging around kids, mostly I would hang around older people. And so I'd go over to her house and hang out sometimes. And I told her about it one day, and she told me some story from the Bible about somebody who had, you know, his name had been called, and, you know, in the middle of the night or something. And I don't think it may have been Samuel or something. And so she's telling me that story. She's like, maybe that's it. You know, I'm like, I don't know, but it was so creepy. And I just thought of it too, because while we were there at her house, we heard her name, and you know, I just can't believe I forgot about that, because we were sitting there, and one day, it wasn't during any time we were talking about this, my sister was there as well that day, and we were sitting there, and we heard somebody say her name, and again, we were in the house, we heard somebody, her name was Goldie, and we heard somebody say Goldie, and it was, to me, it sounded like the same guy, but I think at that time, I'd maybe only heard it once. And so I didn't really know for sure, didn't really kind of click to me that it was the same voice. But we heard her name, and we all took off, you know, like we were inside the house. So we knew nobody was in the house with us. But we went outside, and we all kind of split up and was looking around to see if we could see anybody. And there was nobody out there. There was just nobody there. But every one of us heard her name. So it wasn't just me that heard it that time, you know, so that makes, you know, helps me to understand that it wasn't just me hearing it, you know, now that I'm thinking back about it, because like I said, I can't even believe I forgot that, but we heard someone say her name, and we looked for it, and we could not find anybody. There's nobody around.
That's great, Jason.
Creepy.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's great. I'm just glad I haven't experienced anything else like that. I enjoy listening to the podcasts, you know, that talk about it and talk about, you know, weird things and things like that. But I'm just glad I haven't experienced as much of that as the older I've got.
I must admit, back in the 90s, I used to live in a public house, and it was a really old building. It was the old thatched English thatching on top of the roof, and it used to be a coach house. And I think it dated back to about the 1500s, so it's a very, very old place, and we had a lot of stuff going on there. I think we had something like 12 different spirits that used to cause problems in the place. All different parts of the building would have something different. A lot of stuff used to happen there, and I used to get your name called out there, and there'd be doors banging and things walking around the floorboards.
Yeah.
Lights go in and you name it, and actually got things would happen so often you wouldn't even really bat an eyelid after a while.
Yeah, I guess maybe you get used to it. I don't know, it's just strange occurrences that make you think of other things, like that you're not alone, like there's other things out there, you know. I don't know. Me and some of my cousins too, we used to drive around, you know, we'd call it ghost riding, and we would try to go to, in the middle of the night, I would drive, after I got my license, and we would all just pile in my car, and we would drive out to like a cemetery in the middle of the night and see what we could see. You know, like we was going to just sit out, you know, we wouldn't get out of the car. We'd just sit there like, are we going to see anything? You know, one night we thought we saw a light, and I'm like, it's probably just the headlights shining off of a tombstone, you know, or something. And, we all got scared, and, you know, just things like that. Just like, you know, at times you just look for, you know, something to scare you. You know, you just kind of, I don't know, you're just interested, and you're like, hey, I want something just to scare me. I guess that's why people watch horror movies, maybe. I've never found the fascination in it, but maybe they just want to be scared, or they want to experience that. I don't know, but
yeah,
I don't
sure.
like to experience the things that you don't know, the things that you're not trying to experience.
That's usually the case, yeah. You're alone somewhere, it's dark, and maybe you're just trying to sleep, you know, you're just trying to get some sleep, and there's something, there is something around that doesn't want you to sleep.
And two, I mean, I've had dreams about aliens, you know, I've dreamed about, I don't know, like being in a house and then a bright light. And this is before I really even listened to a bunch of podcasts. I never listened to podcasts this time talking about aliens. I didn't really think anything about aliens. And this has been several years ago. And I would dream that there's bright light. Never seen the craft, never seen anything, but I could see that it, you know, that there was a something hovering. And then there was like a large gust of wind and just hiding. I remember hiding, like in my dream, I was hiding in the house and just trying to get away from whatever it was that I felt was coming to like try to find me. Just creepy. And I, like I said, I wasn't really at that time thinking anything about aliens, or I wasn't even studying about them or trying to find anything out about them. It was just creepy things that, and then that later when I listen to podcasts or I listen to, or I read something, you know, I'm like, gosh, some of these things I dreamed seem so familiar to what these people experienced and to what these things that people are saying, like even just the memory of the place that I had, like I said, it's like a memory that's there, and I've tried to find out where this place is and or why I would have been there. You know, it's just, I don't know, creepy things.
Yeah, that's a very unusual, because often I've dreamt of places, and even though I don't actually know where they are, or I don't even think I've been there, but they seemed so familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very strange.
I've just got the creeps. I mean, I've got a chill going down my spine because I can't. Like, I don't even like to talk about these things sometimes. I don't mind listening, but when I'm talking about my own experiences that I've had before, it really creeps me out.
I must admit, I did an episode a while ago, and I think my wife was out working, and I was the only one in the house, and I've got a little room, which is a studio, and I had the door open. Usually I've got the door closed if there's people in the house, but I had the door open, and I've got in the house, we got those sensored lights where if you walk around the hallway, the light will come on.
Yeah.
You know, like those energy saving ones. And I'm sat here, and all of a sudden I've got no, there's no way I can trigger the light to come on from where I'm sat. And I'm sat here and I'm doing this, I have this guest on, and they're talking about some real creepy stuff. And the light keeps popping on, like in the hallway. Like, we haven't got any pets or anything, but you know, that used to creep me out.
Yeah, that would creep me out. Keep just up. The other night, laying here, you know, and in the middle of the night, I'm just trying to get to sleep, and like out of the corner of my eye, I see something. I'm like, nope, not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not even going to look over there. I'm not going to open my eyes again. I'm just not. I've been listening to too many podcasts. I've been listening to too many things. I'm just shutting my eyes. I'm going to go to sleep. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, don't listen to them late at night. That's the key.
Well, Jace, it's been great talking to you today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
No, you're more than welcome. I really appreciate you coming on today, Jason, and sharing those.
No problem. Like I said, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Unfortunately, that is all for today. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. Thank you to our guests and to Daniel Markham for tonight's music. He will also play the episode out with River Bridge. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Bye for now.